You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production. The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
And we wish you all a very good morning from all of us here on The Breakfast Show. Have a great Thursday. All right, it is Thursday. It is the 25th of January. The Breakfast Show with me, Jerry D, here on 89.3 Cool FM. Tell you what, quick birthday for today. Well, not so quick. And a very important one. We all know this guy's name. Robert Burns was born on this day. The year was 1759. Also known as Rabbi Burns or the Bard. A Scottish poet and a lyricist. And he's widely regarded as the national poet of Scotland and is celebrated around the world. He is best known for the poets, the poems that he's written, but he's also the poet who has written in the Scottish language as well, in the Scots language, although much of his writing is also in English and a light Scots dialect. Nope, I'm not even going to try. Accessible to an audience way beyond Scotland. So it's a happy birthday to Rabbi Burns.
Good morning, world.
Here comes the sun.
Morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Good morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
Break it.
What's that sound? Come on now. 24 karat. Don't fight the feeling, invite the feeling. Just put your pinky rings up to the moon. Girls, what y'all trying to do?
There we go. That's called 24 Karat Magic, or 24K as they've got it on there. And there's Bruno Mars. Time on The Breakfast Show. We are 7.5 minutes exactly after the hour of 7 o'clock. Oh, here we go with Christina Aguilera. Together with Myra Pink. And plenty more. Lady Marmalade. Okay, I guess I must prefer the original one, though, don't you? 10 minutes after 7 o'clock, busy morning this morning. Dr. Computer Alex Newman is going to be with us, all being well. And also, we've got Rob Getman coming in from Mare Verde in the last hour this morning to tell us all about their new equipment. So, there we go. Right, moving on with the music. This comes from Madonna. It's called Live to Tell. heard was, back in 1986, that song, Live to Tell, came out on her third studio album called True Blue, 1986. The song was originally composed by Patrick Leonard as an instrumental for the score of Paramount's film called Fire with Fire. But Paramount rejected it. Leonard then presented the track to Madonna, who decided to use it for At Close Range, a film starring her then husband, Sean Penn. Madonna wrote the lyrics, co-composed the melodies, and co-produced it, and together with Leonard, and Live to Tell was released the True Blues lead single in 1986. Time on The Breakfast Show. I think it's about time we got you in the shower, don't you? 15 minutes? Well, 15 and a half minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. And what have we got for you this morning? We've got Callin' again this morning. It's a track when I sort of looked around yesterday that we haven't played very much. It's called Victory.
Ready, it's time to show.
There we go, in your shower this morning, cool in the gang and victory. That time, there we go, get you out on your way to wherever it is you're going on this Thursday morning. It is Thursday, I tell you what, we're getting through, isn't it? We're coming up to the end of this month already. Don't worry, look on the bright side, it'll soon be Christmas. Somebody else born on this day, by the way. We're going to go back 1783. His William, as we would say in English, was Colgate, but pronounced here in Panama, Colgate. William Colgate was an English manufacturer who founded in 1806 what became, of course, the Colgate Toothpaste Company, or the Colgate Toothpaste Company. Now, moving forward a bit, 1878, born on this day, was a gentleman called Ernest Alexanderson. And he was a Swedish-American electrical engineer who was a pioneer in radio, thank you very much, and television development. He invented the Alexanderson alternator, an early radio transmitter, used between 1906 and the 1930s for long-wave, long-distance radio transmission. Now, he also created the Amplidyne, a direct current amplifier used during the Second World War for controlling anti-aircraft guns. I remember when I was in the Air Force and we used to link up with the BBC from the Middle East, and we used the Racal, that was the make, a super heterodyne receiver. It was a huge, great thing. We used to use that to receive and send, we used to send Morse code in those days as well. That ages me a bit, doesn't it? Well, I age myself, really. So, yeah, super heterodyne, sounded really cool, but it wasn't really. Sit back, relax, take a deep breath with Chris Rea.
You know the agony of seeing it all slip away. And maybe now you'd be happier to talk it out straight. If it's just slipping away. Bound from danger of believing in plans in hand. About the role that you have in this delicate plan. Maybe it's just slipping away. Let's talk it out now. Let's name it one by one.
One by one.
Your great fears, can't you see them burn? Twist and turn.
Chris Rea and friends, and together with Deacon Blue, featuring Chris Rea, and love's a great thing. Time on the Breakfast Show, 26 minutes, that's after the hour of 7 o'clock. A song by Wayne Cochran going back to 1961. Many cover versions of that song, and that one was by Pearl Jam for the 1999 charity album, which was called No Boundaries, a benefit for Kosovo refugees. It would later appear on the group's 2003 Rarities album Lost Dogs. This version was successful, especially in Australia, where it topped the ARIA singles chart for 7 weeks. It also reached number one in Iceland for 6 weeks, and a peak to number two in the United States and Canada, making it the band's highest charting single in either country. But for now.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The first wave to Padrinos have already joined. What about yourself? Now, you can make a big difference by sponsoring one or more students for an entire school year. Wave Foundation supports students in rural areas with limited access to education. With Wave's own school operating as of this month, 70 public school students from Pedasi, Guanico and Isla Cañas will benefit from an additional 90 days of English, comprehensive reading and surfing. You can get in touch with them at 6498-2703. And if you'd like to make a donation, you can do that through Yaffe's directory at Asociación Waved. That's WAVED.
No bajes la guardia. Recuerda llevar tu mascarilla puesta mientras viajas con nosotros. La Metrocultura la hacemos juntos. Metro de Panamá, elevando tu tren de vida.
Ready?
It's three in a a row on The Breakfast Show.
What's going on? You've been away for far too long. You can't come back. I think you are still mad. You're out of touch, my baby. My cold, fashioned baby. I said, baby. Up your social world. You can't come back. Be the first in line. Oh yeah. You're obsolete, my baby.
Going back in time, three in a row there. This last one that comes from Mr. Chris Farlow, or John Henry Dayton as he was born, and he comes from Islington in North London. It's originally an English rock blues and a soul singer, best known for his hit single, yes, you got it, the one we just played, and that's Out of Time. It's a song written by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, and for Chris Farlow, it got to number one on the UK singles chart in 1966. And the song also was, in actual fact, recorded by the Rolling Stones. Now, the one before that, The World, A World Without Love, recorded by, again, the British duo Peter and Gordon, released as their first single, February of 1964, and it was included on their duo's debut album in the UK and in the US on an album of the same name. Now, the song was written by Paul McCartney and attributed to Lennon and McCartney. He wrote they wrote quite a few of the songs. First one started off with My Boy Lollipop. It's off of an album of the same name. It was for the Jamaican singer Millie Small and her only album for Smash Records. The title track, the one we played, My Boy Lollipop, has been credited by NME with sparkling in popularity of reggae and ska, as well as opening doors for other genres of Jamaican music on the global stage.
Thank you. Paradise is half of nice, a popular 1968 song. It was originally written, by the way, by the Italian singer-songwriter Lucio Battisti under the title Il Paradiso, The Paradise. First recorded by the Italian singer Ambra Borelli and released as a single through, was it Dici Recordi, under the alias of La Ragazza 77. Now, although her version did not chart, it was later covered by other artists to much success. Most notably, Patti Pravo recorded, and the one we just played, 1969, by Amen Corner. This is The Zombies. She's Not There.
Well, no one told me about her, the way she lied. Well, no one told me about her, how many people cried. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she had to. No one told me about her, what could I do? Well, no one told me about her, though they all knew. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there.
Boom, boom, there we go. Yes, The Zombies, and She's Not There. Another English band, well, rock band. They were formed in a place called St. Albans back in 1961, led by their keyboardist, vocalist Rod Argent, and also a vocalist Colin Blunstone. The group had their first British and American hit in 1964 with the one that we just played, She's Not There. In the United States, two further singles, Tell Her No in 1965 and Time of the Season, another great track from The Zombies, in 1968, were also successful. The 1968 album, by the way, Odyssey and Oracle, was ranked number 100 on the Rolling Stones 2012 list of the 500 greatest albums of all time, and number 243 on the Rolling Stones 2020 list as well. Now, the Zombies were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when? In 2019. Had to wait a bit, really, didn't they?
I know you're gonna dig this.
There we go, that's the DeFaze and Boogie Philosophy. I tell you what, we're just making our way to 3 minutes before the top of the hour. I've got time to squeeze one more in. Comes from the Mavericks. Don't forget, we've got Alex talking tech with us in the next hour. Say the Mavericks, and this is Here Comes My Baby.
In the midnight moonlight hour, she's walking along that lonely mile, and every time I do, I keep seeing this picture of you. Here comes my baby. And it comes as no surprise to me with enough.
89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. The best place to be in the mornings.
The first wave to Padrinos have already joined. What about yourself? Now, you can make a big difference by sponsoring one or more students for an entire school year. Wave Foundation supports students in rural areas with limited access to education. With Wave's own school operating as of this month, 70 public school students from Pedasi, Guanico and Isla Cañas will benefit from an additional 90 days of English, comprehensive reading and surfing. You can get in touch with them at 64982703. And if you'd like to make a donation, you can do that through YAPI's directory at Asociación Waved. That's WAVED.
Paso a paso se construyen los cimientos de la Línea 3, una obra que cambiará la manera de transportarse de más de 500.000 residentes de Panamá Oeste. Metro de Panamá, elevando tu tren de vida.
And what to choose. He'll say he's better than coffee, but tell it to my double espresso. My toast says he's way too early, but a breakfast show is gone. So let's go.
Got it okay.
There we go, we two in a row. Started off with Sir Elton John, or Elton John, and Lies. This one comes from Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, and it's just dreaming.
Good morning, Panama. Good morning, Jerry. Hey, yes, how you doing? Well, it is Thursday morning again, up early before the Mamacita and Papacita have gotten out of bed. I'll be making them some breakfast this morning, making myself right now a pot of coffee. My sister's heading out today, later on to Jupiter, Florida, with a former friend that I worked with in the Alabama Shakespeare Festival, Miss Sperry. Yep, they're going to go do some meditation stuff in the Juniper, like going to another planet, literally, figuratively, and anything else you want to think about. So that means I will have solo reign on these folks for about 3 days until my sister comes back, and then she will fly off again. So today we're going to get things in order because we got the weekend coming. And hey, you know, tomorrow is the big day. It's Friday. Yeah, you know, my favorite day, Freaky Friday Fun Facts. I'm going to find you some good facts, and I'm going to record them a wee bit early because I got myself a lot of responsibilities here. Boy, oh boy, I'm sure learning about how to take care of things around the house. I'm fixing some things, and I'm cleaning some things, and mostly I'm just keeping my mother and father company and making sure they stay out of trouble. Because Lord knows, when I was a kid, I was in a lot of trouble. My mom keeps saying to me, oh, I don't want to be a burden to you. I don't want you to have to do these things for me. And I say, hey, Mom, when I was a baby, did you complain that you had to take care of me? Did you? No. You sacrificed a lot for me, and I appreciate it. And now it's my turn to return the favor to both of you. And I'm doing just that. So here we are. I'm sitting out here in the living room. It is pitch black, and I'm having me a cup of joe. Oh, I'm so excited. I do miss my cook's cup of joe, though. She does something extra special to it and makes it even more yummy than just regular coffee, which I did bring my Palo Alto, which is my favorite coffee, even though you get the chance to have Dunkin' Donuts and all these other Starbucks and what. No, you got to have Palo Alto. It's like people who travel with their paella because they know they're going to cook with it while they're traveling. All right, tomorrow is the fabulous Freaky Friday Fun Facts. Let's hope we get a good one for you. So you guys have a fabulous Thursday, and back to you in the studio.
Shoulder wing,
Tell you what, a great combination. Celine Dion together with R. Kelly there. And that's I'm Your Angel. And that's exactly what Ingrid is doing right now. She's being the angel for her mum and dad up there in Florida. Time on the Breakfast Show, 28 minutes right now. That's after the hour of 8 o'clock. You're listening to us on 89.3 Cool FM. It is Thursday, and I'm very happy to say that joining us this morning, Dr. Computer, Alex Newman. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Jerry.
And how are we? We haven't seen you for a couple of weeks, so how's life?
Pretty busy, fortunately.
Fortunately?
Yeah. The flip side of that would be not good.
Rich?
No.
So what have you been up to?
Oh, a lot. A lot of stuff going on at work. You know, it's the beginning of the year. A lot of companies are, you know, ramping up their efforts to do better, mm-hmm. you know, for the rest mm-hmm. of the year. And part of that, it means improving their security, their infrastructure, and so on. And that's some of the stuff that I help them with. And, yeah, it's been an interesting couple of weeks, definitely.
And, of course, it is that time of the year where the companies are just able to start utilizing their budget for the new year. So there's, you know, that's also an incentive. Right, what can we spend? Right, let's spend it on this. Let's spend it on IT. Let's spend it on, you know, so, yeah.
It's never as much as it should, unfortunately, you know, the IT budget.
Or the advertising budget.
Yeah. I was at an event yesterday, Forum for Privacy and Data Protection of our friends at IPANDETEC, the Institute mm-hmm. of Panamanian Technology and Legal, you know, stuff. They've been at this for over 10 years now. This is their 10th such event. And a lot of stuff was talked about regarding data protection and people's privacy and so on. One of the things that I mentioned, because I'm still kind of miffed about it, is how there's this guy that has been selling people's information for like a decade.
We touched on that, I think, last time you were in, didn't we?
Yeah, and unfortunately, that guy's so brazen, he hasn't even changed his phone number. No matter how many, complaints you file with the Transparency Institute or whatever, I think they don't have the teeth or the will. I don't know which is worse.
Well, probably the latter, to be quite honest.
Unfortunately,
they have the
yes.
capability of doing their job, but they just don't do it, I guess.
Yeah, and that's really unfortunate. But, yeah, one of the biggest things on the news these days was what's been dubbed the mother of all leaks, or mother of all breaches, the MOAB, they call it, 26 billion, that's billion with a B, records have been published. They include things like your email address, your name, your address, your sometimes your passwords and things like that. It's this compilation of multiple breaches that's been out there on the internet. You can go to a website called haveibeenpwned.com. That's haveibeenpwned.com, and type in your email address, and they'll tell you if it's been a part of that breach. And if you go to the Malwarebytes website, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. can ask them, and they will tell you which emails have been compromised out of yours. They'll send you a report after a few
mm-hmm.
minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And any passwords that have been compromised as well, you can also tell and then change them if necessary. One thing that I, you know, recommend people, use a different password for every website, even if it's manually,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
then when one of these breaches happen, you know which service was the one that was breached. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that I tell people is that one of the great things about most email services, primarily Gmail, but a lot of other email services support this, is that you can add a plus sign at the end of your name, and then any other word after that, and it will still arrive to your inbox. For example, let's say I subscribe to the newsletter for the Breakfast Show. So when they ask me for my name, I put in alex+tbs@vidadigital.com.pa. And what happens is, if I get another email saying, hey, vote for my candidate, or hey, buy my enhancement product, or whatever, and if it says to Alex plus TBS, I can call you up and say, hey, Jerry, there's a problem here. Your database has been compromised in some way. So, you know, alert your viewers.
Where exactly would you put that plus?
At the end of the name, right before the at sign. For example,
okay.
Alex plus TBS at vidadigital.com.pa will still arrive at Alex at vidadigital.pa.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the great thing about it is I can set up rules so that those emails get to a folder automatically and skip my inbox. That way I can read it at my leisure and not just, you know, look at it in my inbox staring at me saying, read me, and I forget about it and maybe miss it.
So I could do Jerry D plus at tbcpanama.com.
Yeah. For example, let's say you subscribe to my newsletter. You would put in Jerry D plus Alex at, you know, thebreakfastshow.com or whatever. And that way, not only could you tell if somebody else got your email from my database, you could even file it under Alex's newsletters and maybe read them over the weekend or whatever. Without it clogging up your inbox.
Interesting. So you can put this at any time you want to.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be sort of an ongoing thing.
And if it does get compromised, you can always set up a rule to just send straight to this junk mail folder.
Okay. Yeah, this is an interesting one. Yes, okay. Well, I'm going to try that. Any other little tricks?
Well, with Gmail and things like that, everybody's got an old Hotmail address or a Yahoo address that they don't use anymore. And Hotmail and Yahoo have the capability of setting up what's called POP3 email, which is the kind of email that you used to have. The POP stands for Post Office Protocol because it actually works like a post office. You go there, you pick up your mail, and you bring it home. In the case of POP, you read the email, it downloads to wherever you're downloading it to, and then it leaves the server. That's what happened way back when hard drive space was really expensive and providers only gave you like a few megabytes of inbox space or whatever. So you kept everything locally on your computer. What I do now is my Hotmail address, which is Alex Newman at Hotmail, I read it from my Gmail address, which it gives me the additional convenience besides having just one inbox that the email filters for spam and viruses and whatever on Gmail, I feel, this is just my impression, are a little bit more accurate than the ones from Hotmail. A lot of spam gets...
Neil, our co-producer, he had his Hotmail hacked, and then he went in there, and then now on Outlook.
Okay.
But this is an interesting point, because let's face it, with Gmail, you know, you don't have to have it on your computer. You can do it on the web.
Yeah.
You can do it. Is there an advantage of using the web to handle your emails as opposed
to several. First of all, it's faster because you're using Google's infrastructure, not your computer. So you save things like battery power and things like that. The second thing is, if you lose your laptop, if it gets stolen, if the hard drive crashes or whatever, there's nothing there that you really need. Everything's in the cloud. So as long as you have that, it's not a bad idea, though, to have maybe a second email address that you can maybe send important emails to as a backup or whatever. And another thing that I do is I used to have only about 15 gigabytes of space on my Gmail account because it was free and so on. So I set up a second and a third Gmail. I made all the email from that older account go to that second account, and I can check it anytime as an archive. So I used POP3 as well to grab all the email from my main account and put it there. That way, I, you know, don't fill up my inbox, but I still have access to all my email. And you can have multiple Gmail accounts logged in at the same time. You just go up to the top right corner and select the one you have. So you could have like a, let's say, 2023 archive at gmail.com or whatever, and just send everything there and have it ready for when you need it, but not taking up space on your main box.
Okay. I'm trying to just think for a minute. Well, there was a facility on one of the email programs that I used. I'm trying to think what it was now. But you could actually... There was something you could do to somebody that came in and did what you could block them. Not just block them. You could do something. I can't remember what it was. But that's sort of been withdrawn. You might remember what it was, but I don't.
Well, there's a lot of tools in programs like Outlook and Thunderbird and all the email clients to let you do things like that. But I find that it's faster, easier, cheaper, better to just do it server-side. So mm-hmm. you log on to your Gmail account and set up what they call filters and either, you know, forward emails, delete emails.
Oh, I remember what it was. You used to be able to send a message back basically saying this user doesn't exist.
Oh, yeah, that's fun. But it doesn't always work, and it just creates more traffic. So I'd rather just, you know, report it as spam, so let Google do its thing and block it at their side.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting. You know, it's one way of trying to prevent spammers from getting to you. The problem is most spammers don't even read the replies or the bounces.
Put out so many at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'll tell you what. This is a good idea.
Return the sender. I gave a letter to the postman. He put it in his sack. Bright and early next morning, he brought my letter back. She wrote upon it, return the sender. Address unknown. No such number, no such song. We had a quarrel, a lover's spat. I write, I'm sorry, but my letter keeps coming back. So then I dropped it in the mailbox as in a special deed. Bright and early next morning, it came right back to me. She wrote upon it, return the sender, address unknown. No such person, no such zone. This time I'm gonna take it myself and put it right in her hand. Then I'll understand.
We're riding on it.
Return to sender. Address unknown. No such number. No such soul. Return to sender. Return to sender.
There we go. There's Elvis Presley and return to sender. So you bounce it, I guess. Just bounce it back, right?
Yeah. A mail bounces usually have a code that starts with the number 5, like 571 means that user's not here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's critical. I wouldn't be able to tell you how many times I get people saying, hey, my mail just bounced. What do I do? That depends. Depends on the error message that you get on the other side. For example, 571 means you're writing to the wrong address. You maybe misspelled it or something like that. Or the user's mailbox is full. That's another 5-something error.
Yeah, I've often seen that one. Exactly. But then you say an error code, but normally it just comes back and tell you that, you know, the person you're sending to, their box is full.
You'd be surprised how many people don't read 3 lines down to get the actual reason for their mail being bounced.
Okay.
Yeah, people don't read.
That means you need basically a software upgrade to the person. Not the
Yeah, I think that the term is wetware. But no, you'd be surprised. For example, I remember one time I set up email systems for a lot of companies here in Panama. Servers that I've set up send and receive millions of emails every single day here in this country and in some other countries as well. And one of the things that I remember fondly is one customer saying, hey, you know that thing that says, send a red receipt, when the person on the other side reads the email? I want that to be forced for every single piece of email that leaves my server. And I said, sure, I can do it. The problem is a lot of people don't actually, read the email. They just click on it and say, I'll deal with this later. Mm-hmm. So they didn't really read it.
Mm-hmm.
I can set that up for you, but I don't think you're going to get the results that you need. So please confirm if the giraffe is going to be in the bathtub with the power tools, and I'll set that up right away. So I get an email message.
You've got a giraffe, and what's the power tool?
Exactly. So I sent him that message, and 3 days later, he comes back with, hey, I still don't see the red receipts being set up and whatever. So I replied again, you haven't told me anything about the giraffe in the bathtub with the power tools. And he says, what do you mean? And I said, I have a red receipt here that says that you read the email where I told you that I would set it up right after you tell me what to do with the giraffe in the bathtub with the power tools. And you haven't replied. So...
it sounds a little bit like something MI5 would do.
Psst, psst.
The giraffe is in the bathtub with the power tool.
Yeah.
And then you say, I know, but I let the monkey go.
Exactly. The weather is fine this day in Odessa. So the thing is, you really don't want to rely on things like a red receipt. In fact, I usually, one of the first things I do when I set up my email client is to not send them, not receive them, and ignore them completely because they are useless.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
people mm-hmm. don't read the email. That's why it's important, I would say, to follow the Inigo Montoya rules of engagement. Do you remember the movie The Princess Bride?
No.
Well, it's a very classic movie from the 80s where you have a prince and you have a princess and you have pirates and magic and wizards and things like that. And Mandy Patinkin does a great job of portraying someone called Inigo Montoya. And his backstory is he was a little kid and he got his father killed by the evil warlord slash sheriff or whatever, and he vowed to one day avenge his death. So he would tell the main character, I'm looking for the same guy you're looking for, and when I meet him, I'm going to say, hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. And I think that's the greatest way of introducing yourself on a cold call or when you're introducing yourself to someone you need to interact with or with whatever. Just make it short, make it sweet, say hello. You don't have to go on like, espero que le estés en buena salud y le deseo excelentes éxitos en sus funciones, or whatever they type in, you know, which is from like the 19th century. And just say hello. It's short, it's sweet, it's polite, and does the job. Then say, who are you? My name is Inigo Montoya. And then tell me what kind of relationship we have together. Like, we work together in this project, or I'm also interested in this subject. And then state what you need. I need to, whatever. I'd like to interview you, or I'd like to work with you in this project, or I'd like your input on this. People waste a lot of time typing like, hello, what are you doing? How's your life? And then they get on to whatever they need from you. And it's bad enough when you waste your friend's time with that. It's even worse when it's somebody who doesn't really know you or hasn't interacted with you in a long time. So in your emails and pretty much in your daily life, just follow the rules for Inigo Montoya. Just greet, say who you are and what we have in common with each other, and then say what you need right there and then in one sentence. You can get away with all of that, and you can't go wrong with that. People will reply to you and say no, or they will say, hey, I remember you from so and so, or yeah, I'd like to work with you on that subject. Otherwise, you're just wasting not just your time but the other person's time. And if you get a bounce back or whatever, at least you'll know that you conveyed your information and it was received, or it wasn't. People might reply to you and say, I don't recall us working together, or I don't understand why you would want me to work with this because I'm somebody else. Maybe you got the wrong person.
You know, Yasmin and I got a system set up where I say to her, have you got the information on so-and-so? She says, I sent you an email. And I respond, did you? So that's how good I am. Hey, of course, the talk about it, it's been a very interesting CES this year for a change.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting. A lot of new stuff coming out.
Yeah, and even stuff coming out after CES, yeah, like Samsung did. Remember when we talked about CES that I said Samsung just explained some of the stuff that they were going to say or do afterwards? Just a couple of weeks after, they came out with the S24 Ultra. So that's going to be interesting as well.
There was a very interesting, you know, my relationship with Apple equipment, but there was a guy on YouTube who obviously has been doing these things for a long time. He says, that's it. He says, I'm sick to death of you people on here. He says, you know, they're doing the he says, how can you say that the new iPhone 15 or whatever number it is any good? Because it's exactly the same as the 14, the 13, the 12. He said there's no innovation. And I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, and anyway, I won't get on to that. A lot of new stuff. I was telling you that the thing that really sort of caught my attention was the Rabbit R1, which got an awful lot of coverage. It's going to be interesting to see when it actually gets in the hands of people. As to if it performs as they expect it to, because you mentioned this LAM, I guess, is the
large action model,
where it actually doesn't just talk or respond. It'll actually carry out various tasks by using your apps. In other words, what you do, you can sign in on it to an app, and it intuitively knows how that particular app works. Or like you mentioned, you can actually program it to react to a particular app that you have the way you want to. Of course, it gave the example of sort of like, you know, I want to go on a 2-week holiday to Europe. I want to cover London. I want to cover France. I want to do this. I want to leave on this date. And it'll come back and give you the various flights. It'll give you hotel recommendations. It'll give you an itinerary. And then it'll say, well, do you want me to book your flight? And, you know, it seems a little bit far-fetched. It sounds as if it might actually be sort of, in my opinion, hit and go. But I $200, I ordered one because it's going to be very, very interesting. Even if you just carry it around and use it for you know, getting information. Yeah. But it has a camera which will recognize things. So you could put it like a sort of batch of groceries on the table. Point your camera at it and says, tell me what recipe I can use for these items. It's very sort of like futuristic sounding.
It is, and at the same time, it's something that's already been done before. For example, you invent an automobile, and the best way to use that technology would be to have like huge buses that move a lot of people around and whatever. But there was an already existing infrastructure of roads and things like that. So basically what the car did was slowly but surely replace the horse-drawn carriage. And then it started expanding onto other things with the problems that it brings, like traffic and pollution and whatever. But it got the job done at the time. I believe that this Rabbit R1 is kind of in the same venue, something that will shape the future. But it's going to look a little different. In what way? For example, usually if you wanted to write an application to run on your phone to do something like book flights, you would write something like the application called Hopper, H-O-P-P-E-R. It's got a little rabbit symbol on it if you want to look for it. You can tell it kind of what you want. Like, I want to travel to, let's say, Salt Lake City, Utah. I did that search this morning because somebody was complaining that the flights from Salt Lake to Panama were expensive at $500. It was cheaper for them to book a flight to San Jose for $200 and spend another $100 on a bus to Chiriquí, which, again, it sounds like fun unless you're in a hurry. But the flight back from Salt Lake City cost $1,000 unless you want to fly on Spirit. But I would suggest you go on their frequent survivor program first. The thing is, if you want to build an app like that, you have to tell the app to use what's called an API or application programming interface to directly talk to the servers at booking.com, at the major airlines, and so on, in their specific language to do that specific thing. And if that company changes their API for whatever reason, or blocks you from using their API because they don't like the way you're using it, or they don't like the fact that you're making money from using their API, then you're stuck. And a lot of applications have gone out the door because the API changed. YouTube changes their API. Websites for restaurants change their API all the time. But what if you skip that and instead of using the technology as it should be, you use it just the way it is. People clicking on stuff on a screen. So you teach an AI that lets you teach the AI. You mentioned programming. You don't program it. You just teach it. You point to stuff and click and say, this is what I want. And it will infer a lot of things without having to do any programming.
So it must have sufficient information in any way. The majority of apps, it already knows how it's going to, how you actually operate it. For instance, I know one of the things it says is, just turns on and says, call me an Uber, I need to get home. So it's also saying, well, it needs to know exactly where you are, which of course isn't difficult these days. Then it has to give the instruction to Uber. But then how does it interact after that? I guess it tells you who your driver is going to be, and I hopefully tells you what your code is going to be. You know?
The funny thing about that is that it might save you maybe 7 seconds from using the actual Uber app, but the potential is not there. The potential is when it's something more complex than ordering from an Uber app. For example, let's say you're having a party and you have 6 people, one's vegan, one's kosher, one's halal, and so on. It would take you a lot of time to click through a lot of options and read and whatever. You can tell the computer, or in this case, the Rabbit R1, and what it will do is pretend that it's a browser, pretend that it's a user reading and clicking and doing, and then do that for you, all that mechanical stuff. It'll save you a lot more than 7 seconds. Now, make the task a little bit harder. If you go on Perplexity, if you go on bing.com/chat or anything like that, and you say, I want to do a presentation on the rise and fall of the Roman Empire and how the Roman Empire truly ended with the Ottoman defeat at World War I, it would probably give you a set of, like, an outline or whatever, but it won't actually do the presentation.
No.
PowerPoint is incorporating Copilot AI, which will probably do that eventually, but an application running under Rabbit R1 might actually pretend that it's a user, load up PowerPoint and do all the graphics and everything, and then you can work on making it yours, giving it your point of view, giving it your impression or your opinion or whatever, and just make it better.
I think I mentioned to you perhaps once before there was an AI which I used. I've got the name somewhere. InVideo, I think it is called. But what was interesting is you go in and you give it, like you say, instructions. And you give it, you say, okay, I want a 30-second advertisement for a program called The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. I want it to be in English with an English accent. I want it to incorporate the following items, like Tech with Alex and whatever. It actually came back and made a 30-second advert with an English voice, all the things I wanted. The only thing that it did, which you can, by the way, pay a little bit extra and it does it, it uses stock photographs from various things and then just got stock on the thing. But you can pay a subscription and these are all included. Or you can then go and give it your own pictures to replace with pictures of fun. I mean, this is clever.
It is, and I see more of that going on in the next couple of years. Just like 2023 was the year of ChatGPT, 2024 will probably be the year where a lot of applications, individual applications, tools, and devices will get the intelligence that they need to get the job done quicker and with less effort on your part in the mechanical side of things. But in the thinking part of things, you're still the center of everything. You're Sherlock Holmes. That thing is your Watson.
You decide how to apply the information that it gives you. It gives you that information to assist you. Then it's like you said, you know, well, you know, it'll give you the information, but then I would then take that and I would put it in PowerPoint and I would have my picture, which is what I like because that's my part of the creativity. Its job is to give me the information to help me with that creativity. I mean, you mentioned their Perplexity, which, to be honest, I hadn't heard much about until they came to me from Rabbit R1, basically. And this was after, I think, the source CES. Perplexity immediately got on and got in touch with them, and they have now joined forces. And Perplexity came in and said, here is a code. Because you're one of the first 100,000 or whatever to order that, we are going to give you a full year of access to everything that Perplexity can offer, free. Well, when you think subscription for a year is $200, that's a good deal.
Very.
Because at the end of the year, I'll already have my device, and if it doesn't work or I don't like the back, I can scrap it. But I find Perplexity very, very good. And you mentioned the point, which I like as well. It gives you the information, but it then gives you the references where it got that information from.
Yeah, and that's interesting. And Bing.com/chat also has that. And it's helped me a lot for my last three or four presentations that I've had to have. The great part is I can tell it, hey, I'm going to talk about, for example, data privacy to an audience of banking executives. What do you think are the 10 top concerns from last year that should be addressed in a presentation such as this? And it'll give me 10. Mm-hmm. Maybe out of the 10, I'll use 5 or 6 or 8 or whatever, and then maybe I'll add 2 or 3 more. I can ask, hey, how about this other topic? And it might say, well, it didn't make the top 10 in this analysis by Forbes magazine and give me the link, but I can give you this other link that has more information. So it's doing what I would usually have to do with Google searches and being creative with my Google foo and whatever, but it would save me half an hour, maybe 2 hours of research because it will show me more relevant information than just a regular Google search might not, provide.
Sure. Okay. Well, we're just about sort of wrapping it up. Actually, the other thing I think which we will see a big difference in is it's not happened yet, but when we talk to these smart speakers, eventually it'll be conversational. You'll be able to have a conversation with it, and it'll react to your response or whatever in a much broader spectrum than, like I will tell it to do something and says, I don't know that.
Yeah,
why don't you know it?
Well, the fact is that they haven't figured out how to access a lot of information yet, but there are efforts. I know the ChatGPT application, if you pay for it, you can use Siri to say, hey, I want to talk, I want to chat about whatever, and it will hold a conversation for you. It does have an awkward 1.5 to 3 second pause between, call out and response, but I think that's just going to improve over time. Again, with a lot of the effort being done by companies to improve the neural processing ability of their devices. For example, the S24 Ultra that just came out from Samsung has got like 12 different AI functions built into it that used to be part of different apps. Now they're built into the phone. And the fact that they're built into the phone is great because A, it's a lot quicker. B, it doesn't leave your phone. Whenever you're talking to Alexa or whatever, that information is actually going to their servers and coming back. And, some people might not like the fact that somebody else has their chat information or whatever. The fact that it stays on your phone, I think, is going to be a trend just like other trends that Samsung has set in the past. I don't know if you remember when the Note came out, people would say, oh, that's a huge phone. Why would you have an hojaldre in your hand? but nowadays, all phone brands have large phones.
Absolutely.
Same with foldable phones and so on. I think it's going to be a major trend going forward for other brands to incorporate more artificial intelligence in their devices. This is something that Huawei, for example, did with their video cameras for surveillance. It used to be that all of that video had to be put somewhere for an AI to actually pick up who's walking in front of whom or whatever. But nowadays, the camera does it itself. You say, hey, I'm on the lookout for this guy called Jerry. Please let me know if you find him or whatever. And the camera itself would say, hey, here's Jerry. So Where's Waldo becomes a lot more easy nowadays.
All right, Dr. Computer, Alex Newman with us this morning. It was great to have Alex. Always fun to talk tech. And the time now, we're just about a minute and a half after the top of the hour. If you missed the news at 8, we got it for you at 9:01.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3.
Cool
FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
It's Morning Radio, the breakfast show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
Started off with Randy Crawford, of course, and that was Streetlight. Following on there, Elbow. That's a band, if you watch the London Olympics, they played there. An audience with the Pope is what that track is called. Right, it's time to say good morning, Yasmin. Good morning to you.
Happy Thursday.
It is. Yeah, it's been a good day, sir. Nice to have Alex back to chat with us.
And it was quick this morning.
It must have been gone quite quick this morning, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is it time to go then? we're expecting Rob, aren't we? Rob Kidman's going to be coming and chatting with us. We better not go just yet. So, anyway, what was yesterday? How did you do yesterday? Any exciting yesterday?
Yesterday, no. I wanted to go to the Scrabble
meeting,
but I was too tired when I left the gym.
Oh, well then, for heaven's sake, what's the point of going to the gym if you're going to be tired?
But I enjoy it. Anyways, so I couldn't go. But they have meetings every Wednesday, so I can go.
Oh, all right, but you be careful.
Another day, yeah.
Because they could put a spell on you. No, never mind. what about today? Oh, you're going out tonight, aren't you?
Oh, yes, tonight is the event of the Indian Embassy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going off with our co-producer, mm-hmm. Neil, I think about 7 o'clock tonight, to a group of Grada got a nap. They're sort of pushing the programming, the group of Grada programming. So I'll go along with to that for a couple of hours with Neil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to separate. Too many events.
Yeah, too many events. That's it, yeah. Yeah. You enjoy the, you'll probably get curry, which I won't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make a curry today.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yes. Not going to share with anybody. But we got born on this land of world of music.
Okay, the first one is Etta James. She was born in 1938, American singer who had 9 US top 40 hits during the 60s and the 1996 UK number 5 single I Just Want to Make Love to You. In 2008, James was portrayed by Beyoncé Knowles.
Ah, Beyoncé, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the film Cadillac Records, a fictional account of Chess Records, James label for 18 years.
I don't want you to be no slave. Work all day, but I want you to be true, and I just wanna make love to you, love to you, ooh, love to you. All I want to do is wash your clothes. I don't want to keep you indoors. You to do, but keep me making love to you, love to you, ooh.
walk, and I can hear by the way you talk that talk. I can know by the way you treat your girl that I could give you all the love and it's whole wide world. Oh, all I wanna do is cook your bread just to make sure you're well fed. I don't want you sad and blue, and I just wanna make love.
And that is what it's called. I just want to make love to you, Etta James. What a beautiful track. You know that one?
Oh, yes, I
great,
love her voice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's got a great voice, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Etta James.
Yes.
And, okay, so we know what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We've got nobody to us. We're going to be back to the music tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Events.
And events.
Because
yes,
this weekend
yes.
is
what,
crazy.
What, where, and when, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's all happening, isn't it? It's called
mm-hmm.
summertime.
Exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Quincena.
Oh, is it really? Yeah, stay in this weekend, not going anywhere.
Good idea.
Yeah. Okay, who's our other born on this day? It's a fairly modern one, isn't it?
Oh, yes, the next one. I also love her voice. She's Alicia Keys. She was born in 1981, American R&B and soul singer, songwriter. Born Alicia J. Abuelo Cook. Scored the 2001 US number 1 and UK number 3 single Falling and the 2001 US number 1 and UK number 7 album Songs in a Minor. Keith has sold over 25 million albums and singles worldwide and won numerous awards, including 9 Grammys.
Wow.
She's not, awesome too.
That's not bad, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Here she is with Falling. There we go, Alicia Keys and Fallin'. Oh, Oh, I was wondering what you're doing for a minute there. Yes, pouring water. I thought. yeah, we've got Rob's just dropped in. Rob Getman. Very good morning to you, Rob.
Good morning, JD.
And yeah, you're looking good. You're sort of looking sort of beardy and longy, hairy a bit, and you know, suits you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
it. Yeah, that's all right.
You haven't changed a bit, which is good.
Is that good?
You could stay in the same.
Oh, dear. I wish everything else would stay the same. It's all falling apart. Great to have you back,
thank
Mario
you.
Verdi. And big news. I mean, look. I mean, it's about 3 pages.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm not even sure what we're looking at. What are we looking at?
It says here, the Green Tide Association and the Embassy from Germany sign agreement to reduce the ecological footprint of the Wonder Project. Yes, you see, it goes on like that.
On and on.
On like that. And yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, it's great to see the German Embassy taking it.
Oh, anyone that wants to get involved with us and help out our mission is greatly appreciated. So, yeah.
And the thing that they gave you looks like a big wine press. Is that,
that's exactly what it is. We're starting to make wine at the Wandia site.
Plastic wine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We call it sewage water.
Right.
I couldn't come up with anything funnier than that. But, yeah, they have generously donated the funds to purchase a compacting machine, which we're using to compact our plastics and to save space, reduce the size of our bulk of plastics, and also to start to work towards our ultimate goal, which is trying to find a buyer for these recyclable plastics. Right now we have Reciclador Nacional. They're taking our plastics, but we have kind of an agreement where they take it for free. We don't charge them. They don't charge us.
Okay.
And then they do with it what they will, find a buyer or a client locally. Or
take it to Serapatica.
Or just toss it in the... I mean, it doesn't make them any money to do that, so I don't think they're doing that. But yeah, they're trying to. They can use it with the rest of their bulk of plastics. Mm-hmm. Add it to their plastics to help a lot. It's a small amount of. I mean, it's a lot of plastics, a lot of garbage and plastics. But
absolutely.
But for a company like that, they deal in huge amounts of plastics, and that's what it takes to make any type of profit off of these things. You need a lot of volume.
Mm-hmm.
So this compactor is just sort of the start of trying to look into possibly shipping our plastics out to a buyer that maybe could give us a little bit more money than we would make locally.
I mean, apart from that, I mean, it must be saving you a lot of space.
Yeah, it helps. It's a, you know, everything's a balance. Everything's cost effectiveness. You know, it's trying to sell the plastics, trying to reduce the size. It all takes manpower to do that. So it's a profit benefit. And so right now it's experimenting with it and trying to discover ways that we can use it to benefit the project, but the long run is definitely to get our plastics to a company that will pay for them.
Okay.
So you know, part of that is expanding our reach and getting more plastics from the rivers, which means getting into new rivers. So that is always part of our goal. Our master plan is to get into at least the 7 main rivers here in Panama City that are all horribly polluted with plastics, and if we can get systems in each of these rivers and collect those plastics, then we can increase our volume and hopefully make these projects a little bit more sustainable.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, I remember when you first came to see us a good few years ago now, and that was when you started with Bob. And then, of course, you got all this trouble because Bob would collect all the rubbish, then you had to get it out, and now that has developed. You've got the machine that will actually take the stuff out of the water where it can be handled, and now you've got the... you've now got the press so that you can compact the plastic.
Sure, sure.
And I think the next thing is you need a shredder, don't you?
Well, that definitely is on the list.
A
shredder is definitely something we're thinking about it because it will reduce the volume even more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it takes away a lot more of the air pockets and things like that. So we've been discussing that as well. But now we have, I mean, we've gotten to the point now where we have our visitor center out on the Juan Diaz River over by Santa Maria. We're basically finished with it. We're going to have an inauguration in April, kind of coordinating it with Earth Day.
Okay.
And but we've got our visitor center. We have our collection building, which is where we pull in the plastics. And we started already doing some limited visits from schools that we've worked with.
Oh, excellent.
In the community of the Wandia's watershed. So we've been bringing in classes, probably 6 or 7 visits of 20 to 50 kids and some of their parents as well. And we explain to them what we're doing and why we're doing it and show them how the machine works. And it's that's basically the main goal is community, reaching out to the community. So that's a big part of it.
Well, I mean, it all starts really with education. I mean, if you've got the kids as well, say, hey, what are you doing with that, Mum? Oh, no, put it in there, put it in a special place. Don't throw it in the river.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. It's changing the mindset of the cultural mindset of what to do with garbage in it. There's all sorts of aspects to it, but just getting them educated to want to make a difference, that's the biggest part. If they just see the garbage everywhere and think that's life, then there's no reason to make a difference because that's their normal life. That's what they see every day is their area, their neighborhood's full of garbage. But the communities that we have reached out that have started to make a difference, even that little first step can have this snowball effect where they clean up their areas, and then that just kind of rejuvenates this pride in their neighborhood, and then they start caring about what their neighborhoods look like, and they start to ridicule the people that don't care about it, that just keep littering. And so once you can get that ball rolling, I think it really helps. That's our goal. I mean, we're not just at the river taking out garbage. We're in the communities.
Sure.
Several different programs of collecting recyclables, education, visiting schools, all that stuff. That's the main goal.
So. I mean, I think as well, living in hope, which is something we do a lot of here in Panama, we're living in hope now that perhaps the Sarah Patacon issue has actually opened people's eyes for once. Because, you know, I've always said it for years. The only way to deal with this is privatization. Mm-hmm. You've got to privatize the whole system of rubbish collection. So the work that you're doing would actually be handled locally. You'd have local people who are actually collecting plastics from us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we have all these things, well, you can put plastic here. The greatest thing we've got here at Multi Plaza, I shouldn't tell everybody because I'll all go there and it'll take me ages to get rid of my stuff. Multi Plaza, they've actually got where they take stuff for recycling. You can take virtually anything there.
Wow.
And it's just there in Multi Plaza by in the car park. You go in and they're incredibly... See all these young people in there working, sorting out the rubbish. And you look inside and the rubbish is sort of almost up to the ceiling.
Yeah.
So it's step by step we're getting there. But of course, again, this is a private enterprise. It's a private thing. We don't seem to be getting anybody in the government opening their eyes to... what we should be doing. I'm talking in a bigger scale.
Hmm.
Do you get a lot of recognition from the government? A lot of help?
Help? No. I mean, we do get visits and recognition, I think they approve of the project and appreciate it. But help as in financially? No. We are. That's another thing I wanted to mention is that right now we have just finished our grant program. We had a 3-year grant, which made the project possible from, it's called the Benioff Foundation from the U.S. And that ended in 2023. So January 1st, we are 100% dependent on donations. So, we were very lucky the last, half of 2023 to really push and get help and donations, and Banco General helped out by matching funds with, some private donors. That's how we roll. We work off of donations. So just to mention it, if anybody is interested in looking at about their project on the website, you can just Google Marea Verde Panama. You'll see about the project. If you have a Banco General, you can yappy us very easily at Marea Verde. And we're an NGO, so everything is technically tax deductible if that benefits you at all. Mm-hmm. So any help you can get, or look at our project online. On Instagram, we're all over. So if you feel like we're doing something worthwhile, please help us continue by a few bucks here and there. It would really help.
I mean, how much would it cost you, Rob, for instance, you say about expanding into other rivers? How much would it cost you to just say another river? How much is that going to cost you?
Well, I don't really handle the funds, so I don't want to speak out of turn, but. To do another Wanda would be very difficult. A Wanda machine that actually is in a river collecting garbage with conveyor belts and solar panels and the whole deal is difficult because not only most of the rivers don't have the capacity or the size for a machine like that, But just the cost is it requires a grant, which we're not going to be getting every 3 years. So we would most likely, moving into other rivers, we would go back to our original design of using the bob, which is just a barrier. And the bobs, I'll say that the bob itself from the States, we just actually bought some new ones at discounted prices because we're always looking for help with that. But a bob is, you know, roughly around between $20,000 and $30,000 for a bob, for a big enough bob for a good sized river. That's buying them from the U.S. But on top of that, the numbers that I don't know 100% of is besides cleanup and administration, and also we also want to incorporate all the public outreach, you know, getting into the communities, which is not free. It costs money to do that, to make the programs, to get people involved, to have people out there. So those are what make it a little bit more expensive. So it's all about funding, you know. I did my best to in Don Bosco. They were reaching out for us to help them with one of their rivers, the Rio Tapia, and I had a design that I created years ago for a bob made out of garbage using tires and plastic bottles. Using trash to collect trash. Mm-hmm. And so they've had that in for a year, and I will admit that it is a DIY type of a bob. It's one that I kind of made on my own, but it's been working for over a year. They've been collecting garbage. They've made modifications. They've sort of adopted it, and they've added to it and improved it even, which is great. I've learned from what they've been doing. Mm-hmm. So things like that are possible, but they need more love and attention than a full bob, you know, with
a real bob.
Because you're dealing with these rivers that are just the power of these rivers and the volume of garbage. It just, if it's not built to standards, it'll really takes a beating. So you really have to put something in there that can survive.
I mean, the entity that would be looking at what you're doing and supporting you would be Mi Ambiente.
Oh, definitely, and that's how this all kind of got started, because I'm going and meeting with Mi Ambiente and talking about my idea for the project and getting support from the ministra that was there, who's now the president of Marea Verde.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
She used to be the ministra of Mi Ambiente years ago. And in the beginning it was a little difficult. They weren't as interested when they were sort of transitioning into new ministers and all of that. They know how that kind of works with government agencies. Mm-hmm. But they have definitely been to the project. They've taken pictures with us and of them. But I don't know. I'm not sure behind the scenes of any assistance that they've given us that I know of. So
we never know after May.
Oh, after, yeah. Well, yeah, we're all waiting to see.
All right, we're going to take a piece of music, but we're off in just a minute. Talking of rivers, this is Boney M., Rivers of Babylon.
By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. There we will, when we remember Zion. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. There we will, when we remember Zion.
There we go, Rivers of Babylon. You haven't sort of taken them on yet, have you?
Oh, not yet, but no, we've got them in our
sights. On the list, yes. What's your biggest frustration?
In life, or?
Well, we've got as long as you like, Rob. You know?
Oh, I got a list.
But no, I mean, with what you're dealing with Maria Verdi, I mean, what is the frustration, if anything, that...
Well, I would say that it's sort of a long-term frustration. I mean, it's something that you just have to get used to when you get started with this kind of work, that it's not a quick fix by any means. It is very long-term, and you can even go down a rabbit hole of just like, am I doing anything at all?
Is this making a difference?
Oh, God. That kind of a thing. But you have to get through that and realize that it is making a difference, and you're reaching out to people, and it's not going to be something that I might even see in my lifetime. I who knows? But I have to remember that I'm proud of doing what I'm doing, and I feel like it's worthwhile, and I get satisfaction out of it, and that's I've been looking for that for years with work, is feeling satisfied with what I do. So this has made a big difference in my life. So you kind of put past that. That's my biggest frustration. Yeah, is just looking at the positive.
I mean, just looking here, I did manage to find it because I was looking earlier on. Some of the numbers here it says that the Wonder Deer St. Bob recovered more than 45,000 pounds. That's 23 tons of plastic for recycling, and more than 264,000 pounds. That's about 132 tons. Of garbage for its correct disposal. That's an awful lot, isn't it? So if you want to know if you're making a difference, that's a big difference.
I'm the one that calculated those numbers, so I know that. I mean, that was just this year, since for 2023.
Just in a year?
Just 2023, yeah, with our
that's
new...
That's incredible.
Yeah, we had a few months additional where we were kind of getting started and getting the feel and sort of making some adjustments and things like that. And we had some breakage and of anchors, and, you know, all sorts of stuff that you get when you're first starting a project. So, but that from January to December, December of 23, yeah, we collected over 300,000 pounds of garbage and plastic materials. And
we look at that in tons, 23 tons of, was it plastics, and then in total 264 pounds of 132 tons of garbage for correct disposal. You're collecting more crap than they do when they get drugs. Have you thought of putting them all in little packages and lying them out on the streets?
We should. But you know what? We find, so we, like, over 100, like 160 tons, roughly, of materials. But we also find other things. Like, the other day, we found someone's passports flowing down the river.
Oh, really?
And we also found stolen, I don't know if this is 100% or not, but we found some stolen calling cards. That had been a big package of them that we turned into the police. But just all sorts of crazy stuff comes down that river. Luckily, nothing grotesque, but, you know, not to get too dark, but luckily nothing like that. But, besides sofas and refrigerators, sometimes we get some surprises.
Here's a little thing for you, because you won't need a lot of space, but you want to set up a living room. And put it in and sort of furnish it with the stuff that you get out of the river.
We don't want that living room. That stuff we hope we get rid of as quickly as possible, because stuff that comes out of the river is not nice. You don't want it. Plus, we have a wastewater treatment pump area right upstream from us. And sometimes they're doing whatever they're doing. Sometimes they discharge into the Juan Diaz River. They have to. And so, sometimes the river's even more disgusting than garbage. It's a beautiful place. I mean, the site is gorgeous. We have a beautiful, beautiful site. It's like a garden area. So when visitors come, it's palm trees and flowers, because we want it to be a beautiful spot. And we also have our neighbors that we have to think about. We don't want to have our
Santa Maria.
Yeah, we don't want to have our garbage collection site look like a garbage collection site. No. So everyone that comes comments on, like, how beautiful it is, and why, and maybe you think, well, why do you make it so beautiful? That's probably expensive, which it was. It was not cheap to do it, but it's 100% necessary to have a good relationship with our fellow community members, and also to bring people in and show them a beautiful place.
Have you had any objections from people?
We had some concerned citizens, as there always is when you're talking about this kind of project. But after we, after we started building our site, putting in, like I said, the buildings are really beautifully designed by local architects. The garden areas are gorgeous, all in with the goal of sort of hiding the ugly parts of garbage collection and making it beautiful. And since then, and since we had a full year of collecting garbage, we proved that we're going to do our job and we're going to get it done, and it won't be left for weeks and weeks, and we're not going to skip town and leave this thing just sitting here to rot. It's definitely slowed down. The emails that we'll get.
Right.
They do every once in a while. They like to, when we had, well, right now it's dry season, so we're not receiving much garbage, but when we were during the rainy season, we would get little reminders like, hey, there's garbage there. You know, it's like, yeah, we know. We're cleaning it. Like, it's been there for an hour. Give us a day or so, and it'll be gone.
I remember the problems they had in Costa del Este.
Hey,
not in my backyard.
No,
we call them NIMBYs.
Exactly, and it was very similar in Santa Maria, but I think after we've proven ourselves, they have slowed down the legal action.
You're there at Santa Maria. If people want to visit the site, how can they do that?
Well, we're doing our inauguration in April. Right now, the visits are very limited to just schools that we've worked with in the watershed of Juan Diaz. But eventually we're going to start programming other visits with schools, with companies that want to send employees to come and visit, or donors, or things like that. I don't know if we've determined whether or not we're going to be an open site, just come by. That might be the case, because we do want people to come and visit and see the site, and we will have people there basically all the time. So it's definitely possible, but as of now, I don't want to say we're going to do something that we might not. All of that will be on our website when we have it.
And just quickly, Rob, because we were just talking about the variation of the kind of rubbish that you get, what is the sorting process for that?
Well, right now we're just doing plastics. We pull out the recyclable plastics from the garbage and the organics. We also try to limit the amount of organics that we keep in our container, because that's just empty, waste of money to pull take organics, et cetera, patagon. So we try to put that back in the river. But we pull out the plastics. We do every so often we'll do a characterization where we'll just collect everything at once. We pull it up on land, and then we just break it all down into different categories, and we'll have different percentages. So we kind of study what we're receiving.
Do you do that on the golf course in Santa Maria? Or?
On the river?
You're sorting, because you need a nice open area.
Have our collection building. So we have a pretty good space for that. We have it all. We try to, and we keep it all undercover, and that's also to keep it a nice shady area, so we're not dying when we do it. But because we're trying to study what we're collecting and what's coming down the river, so we can have a better idea of how.
By the way, was the passport, had it expired? Or was it a?
I didn't look at the expiration date. We were trying to figure out.
Don't join immigration.
No. No, we were just trying to get it back to its rightful owner. Yeah,
interesting story, really. Yeah.
Lots of crazy things come down that river.
Okay, but let me know when I can have it back. Rob, congratulations to you guys as always. Also, a big thanks must go to the German Embassy.
Yeah, very much
for donating the press. So that's a good because then. I guess, you can press it down to like a reasonably compact bit, then tie it up.
We tie it off, and then we can stack them. They're stackable, too. Mm-hmm. So definitely. They came out and had a visit last week, and very impressed with the site, and gave them a demonstration and kind of told them what we were up to, and very, very good visit, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. And once you've got those bricks of plastic, where do they go from there?
Well, for now, we're still sending them to the recycling company here in Panama. Mm-hmm. But, like I said, hopefully, if we can work out some way of getting it to somewhere, another recycler, like, say, in Honduras or something, where they work in bulk.
Okay, yeah.
You actually can pay for it, and shipping costs all balance out. Yeah. Then
they could put it in when you've got a full container.
That's exactly right. Fill up a container and send it off.
Rob, as always, many, 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 many congratulations to all you guys. I know it's all teamwork.
Sure.
So big thanks to that. And again, big thanks to the German Embassy for getting involved.
Definitely. And let me come in and visit is always appreciated.
Well, we've had you coming in for how many years? I mean, I remember you used to come in and talk about the theater.
Yeah, about a decade, about 10 years. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And please remember, at Marea Verde is Yappy. If you have any donations, check us out on Instagram or online at our website, Marea Verde. Wanda and Bob are our two main.
That's the team.
Yep, that's the team. They're doing the dirty work. So, and soon enough, look up for visits. Possible right. visits, yeah.
Sounds good. We'll keep you informed.
Get you guys out there one of these days.
Definitely. Yeah. I'll bring a shovel. Oh, look, a passport.
We got plenty.
Big thanks. Big thanks to Rob Gebman there. As I say, and the whole team as well from Maria Verdi. And again, a big thanks to the German Embassy for stepping up. And that is apart from Rob. Big thanks this morning goes to Alex Newman. We're chatting tech with Alex. And also, just quickly, Rob, before you go, we've got a guest book outside. You must sign it. Okay, yeah, he will. He just left that point out his microphone. He will. Yes, we've got a guest book going. We should have done that years ago. Right, I'll say big thanks, Rob. Big thanks to Alex. Big thanks to Ingrid for stepping in, giving us her daily rundown, looking after Mum there. And she's just saying it's not easy. It's a difficult, it's not an easy job. So congratulations, Ingrid. Keep up the good work. Also, congratulations to Neil, because he's here in Panama. Neil Danby, and our co-producer, of course our producer, yes, she's here in the studio, and she does all our bookings and advertising, things like that, so you can always get in touch with her, 223-5162, while we're on the air in the mornings, or a little bit after that as well. So thanks to Yasmin, and thanks to the boys and girls of Cooper Grado, keep us up and running, and as always, to you, our listeners, advertisers, and sponsors, thank you so much for being with us here on The Breakfast Show, 89.3 Cool FM. Tomorrow is Friday! Yes, Freaky Fun Facts tomorrow, and what, where, and when. So look after yourself. 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, what do I want to be doing? Talking to you, not talking about you. From me, Jerry D. Till then, sit up. You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Call FM production. Presented by Jerry D. Produced by Yasmin Quiroz. Co-producer, Neil Danby.